As we begin our program tonight, I'm very happy to welcome citizen activist, author, and four-time independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader. Ralph's latest book is titled Breaking Through Power, It's Easier Than We Think, which is also the name given to a very special four-day event in Washington, D.C., sponsored by Ralph Nader and his organization, dedicated to exploring ways to mobilize the public to break through the structures of power, holding back democratic solutions to our nation's and world's many crises and problems. The four-day conference, which is commemorating the 50th anniversary of Ralph Nader's first book, On Safe at Any Speed, will be taking place at historic Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C., May 23rd through the 26th. Ralph, welcome to the program. Glad you could be here with us tonight.
Thank you very much, Scott. It's good to be at WPKN.
Well, I just want to first congratulate you on the 50th anniversary of the publication of On Safe at Any Speed, a book that I was assigned to read in my high school driver's ed class in Norwalk, Connecticut.
Very proud
of my driver's ed teacher. And the recent opening, which we covered here and then went up to Winsted, of your American Museum of Tort Law in your hometown of Winsted. And now the upcoming conference that we're going to be talking about tonight, Breaking Through Power, those events in Washington, D.C. next week. Tell us about how this idea came together. And I think as we discuss this, our audience will realize this is a very special event with a list of speakers, which it floored me when I first saw the program for this four-day event.
Well, people, if they're in front of their computer, they can also just go to breakingthroughpower.org to see the lineup. The 4 days are broken down into four categories. And the theme is it's a lot easier to make change than most people think. And some people may say, oh, yeah, prove it. All right, well, day one is Breaking Through Power, How It's Done. And there are 17 groups who have been doing it on small budgets and great stamina by a few people for years. I think the total years worked by these groups is about 800 years. There are groups like the Indian Law Resource Center out of Montana, the Center for Auto Safety, Jay Feldman's Beyond Pesticides, Robert Feldman's spectacular group out of San Diego, Children's Advocacy Institute, Karen Friedman, Pension Rights Center. We have the Science for the People in Appalachia, the originator of the concept, Dr. Al Fritsch. And then there's Lois Gibbs out of Love Canals, MESS. She started the Center for Health, Environment, and Justice, has worked with thousands of local groups to clean up situations here and there, some of it seeping in people's basements. We have the man who broke the global wheelchair monopoly held by Jennings Corporation in London. They were selling high-priced but not very durable wheelchairs. And he invented very tough, resilient wheelchairs because he wanted them, especially for the third world, where there are paths and not like smooth surface like in the hospital. And he taught people in Central America and Central Asia how to make these wheelchairs out of local materials. And he traveled to all these people, all these places, as a paraplegic. Now, in food and nutrition, Michael Jacobson, some of you may get Nutrition Action, that newsletter. He runs the Center for Science and Public Interest. Who broke the AIDS price that was being charged by the big drug companies for people in Africa? $10,000 a year per person. Nobody could afford it. It was a pay-or-die price. And he broke the grip by getting an Indian drug company to sell it for $300 a year in Africa, and that's even less now. So you see, we have Veterans for Peace, Michael McPherson. We have the great consumer watchdog in California, Harvey Rosenfeld Field. We have the person who runs the first organization of federal employees, not on labor issues, not on the pay. They organized it to protect their professional judgment as foresters. And it's called PEER, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. Then the Great Innocence Project that's freed people on death row who were falsely convicted of a capital crime. And, of course, the hundreds of pharmaceuticals taken off the pharmacy shelves because they were dangerous or ineffective for the purposes they were advertised. Dr. Sidney Wolfe, that's just one day. One day.
That's amazing.
And the theme is, don't say you can't make change in this country with a small group, especially if it reflects what Abraham Lincoln called the public sentiment, what we call today public opinion. So we want to give a huge morale boost, and then we can talk about day two, three, and four.
Yeah, let's talk briefly about the other 3 days, just to give people the good overview of what's happening there at Constitution Hall. The media, war, and Congress, with I guess the objective with the last day is to come out with a civic agenda of some kind. But yeah. But summarize the other 3 days, if you would.
Well, the commercial media has been excluding all kinds of serious content, one often by censorship because they want to protect their advertisers, or by ignorance. They don't do their homework. They don't know what's really important. So they like ignore fine print contracts that are a kind of contract peonage for millions of people, the fine print that strips them of their rights to go to court, equal bargaining power. The vendors can change the contract any time. And then the media just doesn't give enough time and space to serious content. If you look at the TV guide, which we're going to show a day on the big screen at Constitution Hall, it's stunning. Cable channel after cable channel, entertainment, often bizarre, low-grade entertainment, sports, reruns of movies ad infinitum, and the over-the-air isn't very good either. They only have, what, 30 minutes of news? What's the rationing for? But they have plenty of time for comedic shows and for sports and for advertisements. So this group is trying to form a group called Voices, which will be a tough advocacy group, getting the FCC to enforce the 1934 Communications Act, which says that over-the-air radio and TV stations have to recognize the public interest, necessity, and convenience. And most stations, commercial stations, don't do that. And also, I think a group like Voices can just go down to the TV and radio station and say, here's our content analysis for your last 2 months. You haven't covered this. You've left this off. There is a big demonstration that you blacked out. What's going on? So the third one is waging peace over war. That's day three, Wednesday, May 25th. And we have Veterans for Peace. We have the former chief of staff for Colin Powell, who is now a great advocate against war, retired Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson. We have whistleblower protectors. We have Chris Hedges, who is well known to everybody in the progressive circles. We have the man who has started peace studies at high schools and universities, Coleman McCarthy. He runs a little group called Center for Teaching Peace. We have all these wonderful people. And we got to make peace advocacy muscular. It's viewed like it's soft, you know, pie in the sky, yeah? Peace is powerful, war is weak. That's the theme there. Thursday, May 26th, is breaking through Congress. And as you indicated, Scott, there are about 13 or 14 agenda issues. And, you know, full Medicare for all, cracking down on corporate crime, supporting local community businesses, especially the ones that are sustainable, as a way of weakening the giant corporations. You take sales away from them and give it to local community businesses. The president of Consumer Reports, Marta Toledo, is going to be there talking on consumer reforms and restoring the rule of law in military and foreign policy. That's going to be Jonathan Turley, a great, great law professor at George Washington University, and as well as Bruce Fein, who's a Republican. He was in the Reagan Justice Department, but now he's a great constitutional law challenger of wars of aggression and unconstitutional uses of force abroad. So we have the president of the American Postal Workers Union, Mark Dimenstein. He's going to talk about labor reform, including repealing the notorious 1947 Taft-Hartley bill. So no one in history has brought together more groups on more redirections and reforms for our country under one roof. And that wasn't that hard, because most conventions, as you know, and conferences are single issue. People have conferences on health care. They have conferences on zoning issues. They have conferences on taxes. Well, this tries to get over the silo effect and show that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So we want people there. It would be nice to have a delegation come down from Connecticut. And it's spring. Washington in the spring is not bad before it gets very hot. And so go to breakingthroughpower.org. There are even scholarships if you can't afford the $20 a day for 8 hours a day. You can get scholarships.
Yes, great. Well, Ralph, we'll give out the website one more time in a little bit, but I wanted to ask you, what is your hope for the any concrete goal to come out of all these luminaries of activism on the whole range of issues, as you just said, breaking the silo? What would you like to see come out of this 4-day conference?
Well, one, I'd like these groups to get more visibility and support from around the country. They don't brag very much. Number two, I'd like in an election year to have this be a reassertion of the civil society, without which we don't get good politics. We get terrible politics. And if we're all going to just focus on the candidates until November and not support public movements, public demonstrations, then we're not going to be able to nourish the election campaign with all kinds of subjects and issues that are being ignored and taken off the table by both the Republican and Democratic Party. Not the Green Party, but not the Libertarian Party. They cover some of these issues. They don't veer away from them. But, you know, the press focuses on the two major parties. The third thing we want to accomplish is to form two groups. One, Voices, which will go and challenge the commercial media and the cable monopolies for not allowing enough serious content. Just look at Saturday morning NBC, CBS, Fox, ABC, and look at the cable stations on Saturday morning and afternoon, and you'll say, why are they using our property this way? We own the public airways. We're the landlord. The TV radio stations are the tenants. And why? Nothing else going on in America? There's no labor channel, no consumer channel, no student channel. I think our expectation levels have been too low, Scott. We have to raise them. Excuse me. We have to raise them, because if we don't raise the expectation levels, we don't heed what was said so many years ago by the great abolitionist when he said, power can seize nothing without a demand.
Thank you, Ralph Nader. We're speaking with citizen activist, author, and four-time independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader tonight. We're talking about his Breaking Through Power Conference, which will be taking place May 23rd through the 26th in Washington, D.C. at Constitution Hall. BreakingThroughPower.org is the website. I give you all the range and lists of many of these speakers that will be at this event have been on these airwaves over the years. Ralph, I wanted to ask you in the few minutes we have remaining here about some of your views on the 2016 election. It's been extremely bizarre over the last 6 months, to say the least, and I don't think I have to explain why. Donald Trump has a lot to do with it. But, you know, the context for seeming mild forms of rebellion here that we're seeing in both political parties, with a lot of especially young people coming out for Bernie Sanders and rebelling against, I guess, the establishment in the Democratic Party, is, and Donald Trump, for a lot of his bombast and obscenities, he really is challenging some of the orthodoxies in the Republican Party as well. But what is the context for what we see here? A lot of people, it seems, are unhappy with the status quo, but it goes deeper than that.
I think it does, because our commercialized elections have become off-limits to democracy. They're an old world, a world of profit for the high ratings that Trump gave Fox News and CNN, NBC. They made a ton of money. The CBS CEO said, it may not be good for America, but it sure is great for CBS. So it's commercialized from that point of view, the media, and it's commercialized with the candidates who, except for Bernie Sanders, have super PAC sponsors with secret donors in the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. So these commercial elections have been separated from the democratic society, from the civil society. And the civil society, with all these citizen groups, can't get their views in. They can't get on TV, they can't get on radio, except WPKN, some stations like this. But you know how serious it is when elections have been separated from a democratic society, and they got their own commercial momentum? That's why we're getting what we're getting. That's why we have a political recruitment system for presidential candidates that's all screwed up, and the good people who could run for president are pushed away, in effect, either because they don't want to get into the dirty mess and listen to the screaming and shouting and epithets and not discuss substantial matters, or they are basically driven out because they can't raise enough money to get the attention of the media and the pollsters, or sometimes to even get on the ballot, which isn't easy in 50 states.
Ralph, you've long railed against the disservice of our corporate media system, especially when it comes to politics and economic issues. Maybe you could name for us, what we're seeing unfolding here with especially the Trump phenomenon, where he's gotten billions of dollars of free airtime because it boosts their ratings. And it seems quite clearly profit-driven in terms of how much attention Donald Trump is getting. But how do we fix the media system so they're more driven by issues in the public interest than their short-term, next quarter profit statement?
Well, excuse me, there are some easy ways. One is to intelligently demonstrate right around a TV station. Usually they have a big parking lot and they have their own building. And when they go on the evening news, 5 o'clock or whatever, they got 300-400 people outside basically saying, let us in. It's our property. You're not covering the local community. You're not covering the state. You're not adhering to the 1934 Communications Act, which requires you to recognize the public interest, necessity, and convenience. And can you imagine yourself, Scott, you're about to deliver the 5 o'clock news, and all of a sudden, 300-400 people are surrounding your two-story building. And what are you going to do? Are you going to ignore it? So people, and that's a good educational technique to show people. A lot of people don't realize that the public airways belongs to us, and we're giving it away free 24/7 to very profitable commercial radio and TV stations, unregulated by a supine Federal Communications Commission, battered by a supine Congress, greased by campaign funds from the communication, broadcast, and cable industry, and fearful of their coverage back home if they take them on. So the second thing is to support a group like Voices, which you'll hear more about in the Breaking Through Power gathering at Constitution Hall next week, where you have full-time advocates challenging the broadcast licenses of these commercial stations for not providing enough time for serious content, or just providing one side, like Rush Limbaugh or somebody, on and on and on. A lot of things can be done, excuse me, that way. And I think going down, visiting your local newspaper editor is healthy. And if you have some recommendations, maybe urge more space for letters to the editor. We once put out a little booklet called How to Improve Your Daily Newspaper, a action manual for readers. They'll bend. A lot of them will bend. Some of them say, oh, well, this is pretty good. You know, we're getting a feedback here. And maybe we can expand the way we do our job and interest more readers or viewers or listeners. That doesn't, of course, apply to this year. This year is really going off the deep end, and it's really sad for a country like ours to be led by someone like Hillary Clinton, a confirmed corporatist Wall Streeter who won't release her transcripts of the closed-doors meeting she had with them, and a militarist, the architect of the destruction of Libya and the spillover into large areas of of Africa when she was Secretary of State, overriding by sheer bulldozing the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, who said to her, Hillary, what's going to happen the day after you overthrow the dictator? Do you have a plan? Well, now we see what it is, massive, violent, sectarian, killing, slaughter, disarray, spilling with weapons all over parts of North and Central Africa. And what's the alternative? Basically, a gambling casino czar who can't stop boasting about himself whenever he's interviewed and telling people how great he is and what percent of the vote he got and how many people love him and how he has friends with all the ethnic groups that he's displayed some bigoted remarks for. You know, I don't think in American history we have gone down to such a level of language and false statements, just facts that are false, like, oh, a bunch of Arab Muslims were on the other side of the Hudson River applauding the attack on 9/11 on the towers. Didn't exist. They kept telling him it's false. We went through the tapes. There was no such rally. He kept repeating it. And he did that again and again and again. And imagine foreign countries watching a candidate for a major party running for president talking about his opponents like Little Marco, Lying Ted. Right on the debates. It's so demeaning. And the media has allowed itself to be dragged down to that level and profiting from it instead of rising to a higher level of its own significance. So all this happens because too many Americans are not engaged. And it's the old story. If you stay at home, you don't show up. You think politics is a dirty word. Why are you surprised when you get dirty politics?
Mm. Well said. We're unfortunately out of time. Ralph Nader, thank you so much for spending time with us and giving us your take on the election and previewing the important event you're sponsoring in Washington, the May 23rd through the 26th, Breaking Through Power. People can get more information on how to attend, how to buy a ticket, how to get a scholarship at breakingthroughpower.org, in addition to seeing the list of incredible activist speakers from all over the country. Very impressive, and I hope we'll get to see folks who can't make it there. We'll get to see some of these presentations streaming on video or audio at some point.
Yeah, it's going to be live streamed, so check the website.
Good, good.
Breakingthroughpower.org, you'll see how you can get it live streamed, and as Scott said, we'll have it videoed, and we want to send it, you know, later on when we prepare it all to educational institutions and other civic associations. So let's have a few from my home state. Just drive down for a day or two, and take it in, and spread the word with your friends and neighbors. And by the way, we want to see some people from the Bridgeport, New Haven area. Drive up nice Route 8 to see the American Museum of Tort Law.
Right,
go to tortmuseum.org. And while you're at it, keep supporting WPKN. I have a radio program on that at 6 o'clock, I think, on Sunday every evening. Right, Scott?
That's right, Ralph. Well, we're out of time. And, Ralph, we'll love to have you back. And best of luck on the conference. I'm not going to be able to make it there, but I'll be there in spirit. And I know a lot of our listeners will make their way down. So, well,
thank you very much, Scott. Thank
talk
you
again soon.
Listeners.
Take
bye
care.
Now.
Bye-bye. That's Ralph Nader, four-time independent presidential candidate, talking about his Breaking Through Power conference in Washington, D.C. Breakingthroughpower.org. Get more information there.